Well, I want to start out, God gave me this message a few months ago, and as you can see, it's about prosperity. But I want to say at the onslaught, for those that are in this room, the greatest prosperity that any of us begins with Christ. It begins with us accepting Christ as our Savior. And so if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe me, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. And that's exactly how I got my start 27 years ago. That is exactly how you, each and every one of you who know Jesus as your Savior, that's exactly how you got your start. It's very simple. We need a Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And then he becomes our Lord, and the rest is history. And the book clearly states at the end that we win, that death will have no sting, and the grave will absolutely have no victory over us. And I was going to say this next before I thank three folks. I've actually got a pretty decent outline, and I've got a time frame I want to get this done in. And this will all make sense, hopefully. The other day, I turned on Fox News, and this is not political at all. Believe me, it's not. But it's so funny, all that military stuff we just seen on there. We are in, Paul said to fight the good fight. So I realized when I read that long ago, probably 23 to 25 years ago, that I was like, aha. The fight that I fought before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior was a bad fight. And now I'm in a good fight, and it's awesome. Now, with that said, what I turned on Fox News the other day was that Mathis fellow. He's one of those Mike Vogel hero kind of guys. But he got sworn in as, and this is not political, you'll get it here in a second if I'll get on with it. He got sworn in by the Vice President Pence as Secretary of Defense, and I just happened to catch it, and I started watching it. But the reason I'm telling you this story is right off the bat, some young lady walked up. There's Trump, Pence, Mathis, rolls up to the podium. This young lady walks up and has this Bible. Now, I didn't bring mine. I almost wanted to as a security blanket, but I didn't because I got my message here. Brought this Bible up there, and they did the swearing-in ceremony, and he laid his hand on it. And it's just kind of remarkable how they resist that book in many arenas in this country, and yet in that ceremony, now I don't know what they know. I know Pence has a background in Christianity. But all I'm saying is I was actually excited, I was excited because I knew what was in between those pages. I was outrageously, truly excited because people bring that Bible up. I mean, you know what the majority of the world that's on that wide road going to destruction? They don't have a clue about that book. That's not so with us. And it's a very, very glorious thing to know. And to look at that little setting as I did, because that's what was yelling in my heart. God wasn't convicting me at all. He was helping me rejoice and be jubilant and praise and worship, and which was awesome today. That I know what's in between those pages. And it's life beyond comprehension. And most of us in this room know that. And again, I want to reiterate the fact that you can start a life of prosperity here today at the end of this service. I want to thank, so God gave me this message about prosperity. He gave me the paneled houses, so that's why we've got this Haggai text here today. And so here we go. But Pastor Case, Danielle, and Caleb were all very helpful and instrumental in helping me put this totally together. But the context of the scriptures and a lot of the things that I'm going to say today are what I know for a fact, just like in between the pages of this book, are biblical, And they are what God has helped me to see, and you're going to get little bits and pieces of things, you know, because this message was actually difficult for me. This is only the second time I've ministered this in this capacity on a Sunday morning, second time. So I'm not real, you know, practiced in doing that, so to speak. But it was tougher than the first time because, and I am going to be talking about money, so I hope I'm not losing anybody, but I am going to be talking more about money in this particular message, honestly. But there are a ton of scriptures. I had to resist and struggle and fight and not bring more and different. But anyway, what I believe God's given me is what I really believe, and I believe it's the message of God for us today, and I'm the messenger, and I want you to know that I'm not pointing my finger at anyone. I'm not accusing, because there's some pretty strong stuff in this message. And even if I did point, I mean, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. There's no perfection in Christianity except our righteousness is in Christ, and He is the one who did it so perfectly. And we're on this journey of fighting the good fight. And so let me say this real quick now. This message is in part, is a memorial about real people that have prospered here at VCF. And it's going to be primarily about Patty and I. As far as it's more blessed to give than to receive. So it's going to be kind of, as far as Patty and I, it's going to be more like the reception part of it. We've received. But it's also going to be about you because you gave. And what I've written down here is a little definition. What is a memorial? Because that's what this little stage setting is all about. That's what this is about. Thank you. And we're going to get into all that. A memorial is something, especially a structure established to remind people of a person or event. What I'm going to share today is going to be like 25 plus years of blessings. And so a year to 2 years ago, and I've got this written down here off to the right, I really did. I've been so prosperous in this place. And some of you know the beginning history, 25 plus years, and some of you don't. But I've been so outrageously prosperous in this place. I am truly thankful and blown away at how God called me out of darkness and has prospered Patty and I beyond belief. But what a year or two ago I was thinking about, and I struggled with whether to share this, but I really feel like I should, because God wants to speak to us and show us things. And God did speak to me a year to 2 years ago about prosperity and about why people don't prosper. And as you're going to see, there is plenty of scripture that tells us that God does not always prosper His people. And what I felt like the Lord told me was that the reason He doesn't prosper us is because He can't trust us. Now, again, that's not an accusation towards anybody in this room. But that's what I felt like the Lord spoke into my heart, that the reason that we don't prosper is because God can't trust us. And you're going to see that there's an illustration here in that. And when God gave me this message, that paneled houses was the thing that drew me to this text out of Haggai. Haggai. So anyway, the lead verse, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, Proverbs 3:9. And if you would, flip it over for just momentarily. I put the second part of the lead verse at the end of this message. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, I considered the wealth part. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Well, when I came into this place 25 plus years ago, because we think about wealth as just money, and I know I'm leaning a little bit more towards cash here today, that's true, but I didn't have that cash back then, and I still don't have as much cash as I wish I had today, but that's okay. We're always going to have those wants and needs and desires, but When you think about that wealth, when you think about that, how did that apply to Jeff and Patty when we first walked into these doors? Well, let me tell you how it applied. I came in here and I sat down and I became someone who was willing to grow. And then we slowly got into the process of serving. We slowly got into the process of giving of our finances and our time. And the wealth, the Bible says the church is the manifold wisdom of God. So the wealth that you have when you first get saved is good. And it's no different than the wealth that Pastor Case has, wealth of knowledge, wealth of whatever, different gifts and strengths and weaknesses he has. So the wealth that we have is from the beginning. It starts right off the bat, right out the gate. We have something to give. We have wealth. And we need to really believe that and know. And a lot of it, a lot of times, is just being still, being quiet, and learning, and then like worship and praise at that service, and just yucking up what God is trying to help you to see. I'm speaking today, 25 years later. I didn't always speak up here. And you may not ever speak, so to speak, in this way. I don't know. I think that it's kind of like the gifts of the Spirit. I think they're for everybody. And all of them are available, so to speak, to us. But, all right, let's look at the Jews who were permitted to leave Babylon and return to Judah and later got distracted. Now, what I've titled this Haggai text, Who's First, You? And this is what's going on here. And another interesting thing about this first text is that three times God clearly tells them, I'm going to mess with your world. I am going to mess with you people beyond belief. And it ain't going to be good. It ain't going to feel good. And it's going to be hard on you. And so let's read along with me. Haggai chapter 1, 2 through 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Now 7 changes gears a bit. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The second time he says this to the children of Israel. This is to his people. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. Now he goes into another one in verse 9. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Then he changes gears again. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because my house that lies in ruins while each of you busies himself with his own house. Then he goes in for the third round. And he does this later in chapter 2 of Haggai. I think twice maybe. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for drought on the land, the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. God is jealous. God is jealous. These folks were busying themselves with their own house at the time. And the funny thing is, originally, and I feel like God did not want me to get really hung up on a lot of background detail and keep you here till 3 o'clock because it's only going to be till 2 o'clock as long as I didn't get into the background. No. Steve did bring food, though, for lunch. They're in Babylon. They get out of captivity and get permitted to leave and go back to Judah, their homeland, and they did build the foundation. But then they got distracted. They did. I mean, that's what this is all about. And they started, and it's funny about paneling. Some of us older folks remember in the 70s that paneling was like really cool when it showed up on the scene to be put on the interior of people's homes. My mom couldn't be here today, but she... I remember growing up in Farber in that house, they did that. It was so cool. And we thought we were like, we were kings and priests, and we didn't know the Lord back then. But it's funny, and yet God's like, there's nothing new under the sun. Look at this paneling here. But what did it look like? I don't know. But But he does give them some static. He said, you guys are going chasing this your own thing, and you're putting me second, and you're being number one here. And because of that, and we don't like to talk about God, disciplining us. But, in Hebrews it says no discipline at the time feels good, but it produces a harvest of righteousness. And I've experienced that on a few occasions. And quite a few, like hundreds, by the Lord himself, because that's what conviction is. Conviction, God convicts us of our behavior, our thinking, our attitude. How many times in this body here have we apologized as men to our wives? And it's happened a lot. So, that's going to happen. But there is consequences. But God cursed them and did not prevent pests from devouring. And that's a kind of a reference to Malachi 3. And they're going through a lot here. They are spinning their wheels. You've heard that term. The children of Israel at this time now, because they're busying themselves with their own house, all they're worried about is their own home. They're not busy about this place. And they're spinning their wheels. They got holes of purses. Boy, I'd hate to have that. It's just all those things were definitely negatives. But it's getting ready to change. Now, this next verse, when you think about prosperity, a lot of us that know the Word of God have a pretty good understanding of general truth in this book. Know that Malachi 3 is a very popular text about robbing God and about giving the tithe and the offering, and you hear that a lot from teachers and preachers, and that's not, there's nothing wrong with that because it's the truth. And I considered that, but the Lord directed me clearly to chapter 2 of Malachi, and it's kind of a support, so let's look at it. It's kind of another backup of what I'm saying in this Haggai account. Let's go to Malachi 2, 1 through 2. It's right there. And now, O priest, now this is to the Levites, to the priest, and now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Now, that is strong. There's nobody in this room could say that is not pretty aggressive on the part of God. Curse the blessings. And none of us want that. And I'm not sure where and how that all happens. In this particular text, it definitely happened to these people. But at the end of chapter 1, they repented. God put the pressure on them, and then they changed their ways at the end of chapter 1. It's not in these texts here. And they began to go up to the hills, as God had told them, and start to work on the house of the Lord. And they started doing what was right. And if you would, now let's put God first and turn it over. And I've just subtitled this, and this is chapter 2. Who's first? And of course, now God is first in with these folks. And things change. And yet, at the same time, things change. It's a funny little thing here is that they still don't see this second. I think is it the second temple in Haggai? Yeah. And I didn't do a lot of deep background study to try to figure out different factors of this. But the first temple was Solomon's, and it was torn down. And that was due to different issues on the part of the children of Israel. I'm sure it was because of their disobedience. Again, God, you see it over and over again in the scriptures. Israel has favor with God, and he's blessing them, and then they kind of slowly fall away. And then he puts them into captivity, and then they cry out, and he calls them back out. And I used to say that years ago. And then Pastor Case shows up on the scene and says that there's an escalator in this Christian walk coming down at us, and we have to be walking up it. I used to have a T-shirt that said, any old fish can float downstream, and it showed this fish long ago swimming upstream. And it is a fight. It is an upward charge, and we are all guilty at times of becoming more lazy or becoming less interested in what God wants to do or how he wants to use us. We're all guilty of that, and I'm the most guilty of all here. So I'm just saying that for anyone who's been in this thing called Christianity very long, they know that it is a constant fight. It's a constant struggle to move forward and to do the will of God and to be focused totally on God, because there's that drift factor, another pastor case saying. But the escalator's coming down, and even if we just start slowly walking up the escalator, depending upon what the pace is of the escalator coming down, we will be dropping down. I'm not trying to say that, because God has factored in another saying, a case. God has factored in our failures. And there's not a lot of rebellion here. But the potential is always there for us. I guarantee you, God showed me this long ago. And it was the minute that you say you can't be deceived, you just got deceived. Because we have an enemy that despises us. He hates your marriage. He hates your finances. He hates your attendance. He hates your service, your ministry. He hates your Bible devotion at home. He hates your happiness going to work even on a Monday. And yet at the same time, as we worshiped and as I prepared for this and as I reflect, I'm constantly reflecting on where I come from, where I'm at, and where I'm going. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm blown away. I always am constantly trying to reflect back on the path, not because the path brings me shame. It's because I see God working, and it helps me to understand that He's still working today, and where am I going to be this time next year? But Haggai 2:3-5, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? Talking about the temple before. How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. Jeff, when you got saved, my spirit remains in your midst. Jeff, fear not. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we screw up. Yes, we're not as devoted as we was yesterday, today, so say for instance. And we will have many battles ahead to deal with. But these are just warnings. These are just cautionary things. I am going to talk a little bit more about money here, even more. As I'm looking at the clock, I'm doing pretty good. But let me go ahead and go to the collage. Is that how you pronounce that? Yes. Thank you. I told Caleb College. Oh, my gosh. All right. Now, I do want to talk about that for a little bit. And remember, talking about prosperity, we're talking about 25 years plus of blessings that God has blessed me and Patty to cause us to be where we're at today. And guess what? Where are we going to be at 5 years from now? Where are we going to be 10 years from now? I've already told you about the 100-year-old deal, and I don't know. I don't know if the Lord's going to come back after this message. He may, because of the message. No, just kidding. And he's like, all right, we're done here. But real quick on the collage, I'm going to step over here out of the way. I keep pushing this button to turn this on. It won't. Rick told me I need electricity to it. Now, what I want to do is, when it comes to prosperity, like I said a while ago, the cross, what Jesus did for us is the beginning of prosperity. I mean, that is how we get our start. The church, God baptizes us into the church. That's what that's symbolic to. And now I kind of want to get into what these different things are saying and doing. And I think I'm going to do the cash last. But so I'm just going to, I guess I'll mention the cars first. In this place, in 25 years of salvation, and a lot of this happened more in the first 15, I'm going to say roughly the first 15 years that me and Patty, we raised a young family in here. And we were living paycheck to paycheck, and we was broke most of the time, and all that kind of stuff. And this is, like I said, a memorial of being thankful to God, but you'll get a little bit more as we go on. Now, What I want to do is start out with the cars. I've had two different cars given to me by people that are still in this church. Blessed us with a car. Big deal. Okay? The funny thing is I couldn't find a picture of that brown Impala, and Caleb found out. It is like awesome, almost like perfect of it. Now, we had another car that a brother found me for like $200. It had bullet holes in the side. It was a station wagon, too. I'm a station wagon guy. I don't know if some of you might remember that car, but it was funny. There's some things I want to do now that I'm not going to do because Patty told me don't do it. So it was planned, but it was, I know better. So I'm not going to do it. So we got blessed. That helped us to become prosperous. It helped us to move forward in Christ. I mean, anytime someone helps you in your life, and you know, I need to back up, and I just made eye contact with Jackie, my mother-in-law. Yes, no, it's okay, Jackie. You know I love you big time. The cross. I got to back up just a hair. Almost forgot something. And I got saved 27 years ago. But it's Jackie's fault. The devil hates her for it. Jackie and Ed's went home to be with the Lord now. They got saved and become pretty fired up about the Lord. Well, they took Patty, my wife, 7 years prior to 25 to 27 years ago. I'm not going to try to do all this math. She got saved. So she got saved. My wife got saved 7 years prior to me. I've been saved 25 to 27 years, whatever. She got saved, and then I get saved. And then we come here. And it's a domino effect. And I'm thankful to her, and she contributed significantly to my prosperity due to the fact that she led my wife to the Lord. And, of course, Patty was like, I ain't living with this guy unsaved. Ain't no way. And so she prayed, and, ooh, golly, she endured a lot for 7 years. But that's okay. She's a better Christian for that, knows how to minister to people that's dealing with the same stuff because there's nothing new under the sun. Paneling, 70s, paneling in 500 B.C. or whenever that was, before Christ. It's nothing new under the sun. Now, so I did the car. So now I want to do that little knife. You can't see that picture real good, but that is a knife that someone in this church gave me. The little foxes spoil the vine and all the little stuff that happens. So the knife is not like the car. But I happen to still have that knife that I've had for a long time. And a guy that gave that to me as a blessing. It helped me become more prosperous. When you don't have to buy your knife to field dress your deer, it's kind of nice. It just saves you money. You live better. Walmart commercial, but. Now, Moscow. There was a couple in this church that pulled us to the side. I need to push a little harder, I think. Took me back to that honeybee classroom back when this was all, we had Sunday school, and now we don't because of the will of God, by the way. And after church one Sunday, I don't remember how long ago it was, but a long time ago, took me back there and felt like the Lord had told them to take my daughter, Katie, on a missions trip to Russia. So that's what that's kind of resembles. And, of course, pay for it and all that good stuff because I didn't have nothing like that. I couldn't even contribute $20 at that time for that one. And so they took her, and it was all good. Everything was cool. Now, the clothes here at the bottom. Look at the clothes. How many clothes have people blessed us with? And how much of that is still going on right here today? I mean, it's just there's things that we need. The church has taken care of me and Patty, and it's, these things all contribute to our success and our victory in 2017. And I love my job, and I love how that is because I'm going to tell you what, dog is not man's best friend. That's a bunch of hogwash. A man's job is, and that's actually hogwash too. But I've always said that because I've always been pretty thankful about my job. I really have. I'm a big advocate of that. And I've always been that way. And I think it's helped me to be blessed in the work of my hands. But I love my job. And I'm in my third and final career for the most part right now. But Preston Farley, who I'm not mentioning in other names on all these other blessings. I just didn't really feel led to. And I'm going to explain that here momentarily about a little bit better, clearer on that one. But Preston Farley, he's the one who came up to me in this church about going to work in the Department of Corrections. Well, I did it. It I lit up inside when he put that proposal to me. Now, Judy Fairley couldn't be here. She's H&R Block tax lady, 7 days a week. You know it's that tax time. Jordan's here, his daughter. Preston's went home to be with the Lord. But he put that in me. And I've always blamed him and even the church and God for me going to work in Department of Corrections. It provided me with a salary. It provided me with a good, secure job. It's what I did. It's not for everybody. It's what I did. And it doesn't matter. I mean, but I'm thankful that Preston did that. And what's really cool, and Bobby and Diane don't know this, and yeah, Bobby's like, oh, gosh. No, there was a guy named Tom Kramer, and I was going to share this. I became a part of a Christian boat club long ago through Bobby and Diane, long ago. And we passed out Bibles, and we did these different events at Missouri Whitetail Classic and a couple of things at Jeff City, and then we also did a lot of 3D shoots, and I was part of that club for probably close to 10 years. Well, Tom Kramer was an awesome man of God. He really was an awesome, sweet brother, and he was part of that club. I think he was even president for quite some time. But he came up to me one day, and this is what we need to realize. Little seeds get planted about ideals and thoughts and direction, and God uses his people to sharpen one another, and sometimes you may not move on it for a decade. Maybe it's 5 years. Thank Dennis Kuntzer and his ministry over CMI now. God told him he was going to be in that kind of position when he was 15. Now he's like 60-some, and he's just now got into that. I mean, we need to realize that when we hear one another speak, we never know what it's going to do. But Tom Kramer spoke that to me and said, hey, Jeff, you ought to go to work for the railroad. That's what he told me, and that's why I mentioned him. And so he was a Christian brother, and that rolled around in my heart, in my mind, for golly, 15 plus years, maybe more, before I actually moved on it. And God gave me the green light to do so. And as some of you know, the story is a crazy story. I went around the mountain, went to Enid, Oklahoma, and got the job. But they gave it to me at Quincy because Quincy wouldn't give me an interview. It's just crazy how God worked in that particular situation. Okay, love my job. I do. Love my third and final career, hopefully. I think I mentioned the prayer. Yeah, I don't think I did. All the prayers of God's people for me and Patty and our children and in the ministry and even for this message today. That is so huge. And the construction, we've done a lot of work on our old house. And I forgot to mention this. Preston Farley is the one who I was trying to go this direction. I really was, because I was working for the prison system that way, Fulton. And Preston Farley found me the house that I moved to, and I didn't want to go that way. But I did go that way because we felt like God had us go that way. And so that's where we're at. So Preston was a big instrumental in that too. Then we did a lot of construction. A lot of y'all helped. Most of it unpaid, a little dab of it paid. Very awesome. It helped us to become prosperous. And the loan. I had a couple in this church that gave us some cash, around 10 or 12 grand, to do the work on that house until we could go to the bank and get everything kind of sewed up and close on it and take out the note at 4.5% interest. And just laid the cash right on me to go ahead and start the work and do the job. And that was cool, real cool. It's helped me and Patty become so prosperous. Now I better speak about the cash, and I've got something written down here. All right. The reason I shared about the pile of cash, a long time in this church, me and Patty lived paycheck to paycheck, and I don't know how much as a member in this church, and I wish that I would have kept track. It's kind of a funny thing. It would be a neat thing, but it had to be thousands upon thousands of dollars. Was it over 10 grand over 15 years? I don't know. But between the hallelujah handshakes by some of you and the benevolence from the church offering or the church treasury, as a member, we received a lot of cash, a lot of checks to be able to pay our bills and to survive and to become more prosperous. It was a hand up. Not a handout. And it blessed us. And I'm not ashamed of it. And it's good. And I want you that are struggling financially to know that. That I've been there and I've done that. I don't have to do it today. It doesn't mean I won't have to do it tomorrow. There's a lot of things that could change. It's a very fragile world we live in. We're a very fragile people. I could be disabled. There's a lot of different problems that could occur. I don't hope it doesn't, of course. Remember, I want to live to be 100. And I don't know if I could, you know. So we've been blessed with cash, piles of cash. And now we've got more piles of cash to contribute. And so I want you to be very much aware to, as a member, to, when you're struggling with that, don't let the devil whisper the lies in your ear that you shouldn't do that, that that's wrong. There's people that have greater needs. God is trying to prosper us. And it happens through so many different means and ways. And I am so glad that God paid a lot of my bills through the treasury of this church. I'm extremely glad, proud of it, and happy. And it's part, you know, we have not because we ask not. And at the end of Haggai, in this, the silver and gold are mine, says the Lord, is what it says in that. And so now I want to get into, I'm doing fair. I'm okay, actually. I'm about done, actually. What I want to get into now, well, I guess I should finish. I'm sorry, I almost lost my train of thought. See that pair of coveralls real quick? Someone gave those to Patty in this church, and they're still in this church. It created a degree of prosperity. I almost forgot the stuff on the stage. I apologize. That microwave, there's so much I could say about this microwave. I'm serious. When we were first new in the church, 2-3 years in this place, we needed a microwave. And a lady in this church come rolling up into our driveway and come rolling up into that old broken-down kitchen. I mean, it was bad. You can ask my mother-in-law there, Jackie. Jackie was freaked out about that house that we went into out there because it was rough at first. And rolled up into our house carrying this microwave. Maybe I went out and got it. I don't know. But blessed us with a new microwave that we needed. And it's not this microwave. I'm pretty suspicious. I'd say that microwave that she brought us at that time is probably 100 to 200 feet under the ground in the landfill somewhere around Mexico here. I'm not sure what happened to it. Microwaves don't last forever. But we do because of Christ. So that's what this is about. The table is mine. Don't know where I got it, but it was there just to support the microwave because that was the big part of this state saying that God showed me was the microwave because it was the beginning of me seeing how God blesses his people through all that you've heard me say and not quite done yet. Okay, that deer stand, just a deer stand. You need to realize, though, that I didn't start deer hunting until after I got saved. It was something God gave me, and so I love deer hunting. And but a man in this man that's not in this church any longer gave me a climber deer stand. It's not this one. I actually bought this one with cash. I think I actually got it out of the treasury. I'm not sure. Just kidding. Just kidding. That would be kind of abusive of myself, wouldn't it? But it's just, that's my climber. Actually, it used to be Patty's, but I confiscated it from her. But a guy gave me a nice climber back, and it was one of those old school climbers. Randy Johnson, a few others understand it. They had the blades that looked like the boomerang. It was instead of the cables, old school. Summit, it was a good brand. And I climbed up in trees quite a bit and hunted deer out of it with that stand. And I had to finally take it to this metal junk because it wasn't safe. Now the last thing, two things. Suits, clothes. I mentioned clothes a little bit, but this stage jacket, when I was Sunday school director, I had a couple in this church that are still here that bought me, and this is the cover for one of them, bought me 2 suit jackets so I would look more presentable and bless me, just blessings. I don't mind dressing up for church. And bought a couple jackets. The jackets are outgrown, and they've left my house now. And this suit that I'm wearing here and another one that I can't quite fit into yet were also given to me by a couple in this church. And blessings. And it's created. Look how prosperous I look. How in the world? So now, this thing here, this is not my pride and joy. It ended up last. I got this gun up here. The bolt is open for those that are a little nervous. And I understand, no, I've got issues. But
This is a deer rifle, and I love that rifle. I've shot a ton of deer with it. It's a 270 Remington. And I had a man that still goes to this church roll out into my driveway, that bring the microwaves, bring the guns, bring the cash. He rolled up into my driveway and felt like the Lord told him, and I can't remember exactly because I've had this a long time. I think he bought it himself, went and bought it and brought it to me. I don't think it was his, but that's not a big deal. Not worried about that. The bottom line is he gave this to me. Pretty expensive piece of equipment there. And it's created the degree of prosperity that Patty and I are enjoying today. And it's just beyond belief. Now what I want to do is get into a short amount of time here, not a lot. But I do want to, this is what I really believe about prosperity. And for the Christian, you've got God over here, the silver and gold are mine. And then you've got you and I here. It takes two to tangle. It's like a chess game. God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. We know that. He did that. And maybe there's one in here that doesn't realize that. But he did that. He made the first move. And then he says, come all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He says, confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Come to me, all heavy laden and burdened. I'll give you rest. And he made the first move. And then we accept Christ as our Savior. And then from there on out, it's draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And of course, we're baptized into the body of Christ, the church. We need a church. And but it's just a constant effort on our part to serve God and with the wealth that he's given us at the beginning of our salvation. And then the wealth changes. We get a greater wealth of knowledge, a greater wealth of financial resources, a greater wealth of experience to minister to the older, ministering to the younger. And it just never ends. But it's a practical, almost common sense approach. God has, he did rain down manna, but he never rains down cash. He brings it into the storehouse for distribution. And he entrusts you with it to give me whatever when he leads you to do so, and vice versa. But as you can see in the middle of this back page, John Phillips was a former elder in this place, and he's the one who, and I'm going to get into Dave Ramsey here for a couple minutes. He was a, Larry Burkett, am I thinking right? Yeah, Larry Burkett has now passed away and went home to be with the Lord. That's three different men I've talked about that went home to be with the Lord. Larry Burkett was a Christian financial counselor that Dave Ramsey actually respected and liked and followed suit with the ministry that he had. Well, John Phillips was an elder here when we first walked in the doors, and Joel and Dave, and now Dave's gone, and even a Jim Belmer was there when I first walked in, and of course Pastor Hyatt was the pastor, and that was 10 plus years, and then now I've been alongside with Pastor Case as my pastor for the last 17 years. But John had a gift about finances. And he did. He had kind of a budgetary anal. He even had it on his computer and stuff. And this thing here, the less you spend, the more you can save. The more you can save, the more you can give. The more you can give, the more you can be blessed. And he had that kind of, it's not a scripture. It's a principle. And he just was zealous about that. And he taught me how to budget. I know budgeting may be like, duh, for most of you in this room, I don't know. But we have a society out there that is totally lost. We have a government that is totally outrageously $20 trillion in debt, but I mean, they don't even keep, no, it's like, oh, it'll work out, as Case says, oh, it'll work out somehow. You know, it doesn't. We need to budget. He taught me how to budget. And he was just an awesome man of God in that area of my life. And I mean, honestly, he one time, and the only way I can say this is say it. I don't want to challenge you on decisions you're making in your family's lives. But I will tell you about a challenge that he gave to me that actually brought prosperity to me. It's just the truth. It's just the testimony and what I experienced, and it was good. And I know it was good, but it didn't feel good at the time. Me and Patty was wildly looking at this big old house out here by this bypass. The thing was three stories tall. It's a big old monster house. Some of you know what house I'm talking about. We were living still up on the highway, and John threw a bunch of water on it. John Phillips threw a bunch of water on that. I mean, I was living paycheck to paycheck. Remember, I was getting cash from the treasury, and I was just barely getting by. Now, I'm going to buy this house that was going to take 600 men to be able to make it kind of livable. And he threw water on that, and it blessed me. And guess what? I ended up out here through Preston Farley and others. It's just amazing what someone can tell you and speak into your heart if you're thinking about doing something. So I'm not really wanting to get into your business necessarily, but it did help me. So I got on a budget, and I even remember listening a little bit to Larry Burkett. And I'm trying to wrap this up. Then Dave Ramsey comes on the scene. And I am an advocate of Dave Ramsey, but I'm telling you honestly, even though I just said that, I don't know what you think about him. But if I'm going to do beans and rice and beans, it means you just invited me to take me to Chipotle in Colombia. Because, I mean, I'm not one of those kind of guys, you know. But if you want to get real aggressive, because he advocates this and preaches this, so teaches this, so to speak, about your finances. But what I do know, about, just eating beans and rice and beans and basically living on nothing and getting out totally out of debt and being really wild, delivering pizzas, doing three different jobs and all these different things. And I get that. I'm just saying to you honestly, I don't totally agree with everything the guy advocates. And but yet at the same time, I know for a fact his common sense, very, very important practical budgeting, living within your means, getting out of debt are so outrageously beneficial to the church. That guy, that one-man show, I believe, one-man operation has caused prosperity to come into the church like no other spokesperson for the church about prosperity, about money. And I think he's been a real blessing to the kingdom of God in that respect. And I listened to him, and I've never bought none of his curriculum. Didn't have to. I had John Phillips. And I, early on, kind of grabbed a hold of these general principles. And I'm telling you, the principles about just budgeting and common sense about spending and getting into too big of a house and the Lexus and what have you, those things are important to us. And because we've been conservative and reserved, we have money in the bank. I've been laid off since December 22nd. Could have went back to work about a week ago, and because of this message, chose not to, and I really don't want to go back to the work this afternoon. But anyway, I got to go back to work. And but there is a God wants to bring blessing to us, and then but we have our part to play, and that's what I was trying to say a while ago. We have our part to play of having the disciplines we need. I mean, you got to have disciplines to read this great book, to know what's in between the covers instead of just, I'm never going to understand it. I mean, we got to put forth a lot of effort on this side. And if we do, we can have better marriages. We can get our financial house in order. We can endure some of the workplace issues that all of us have struggled with. I mean, and either change jobs when we need to at different times. And there's plenty of experiences that's occurred. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm saying there. And he will bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And I guess the last thing I want to say is, and I talked to Pastor about this, but these that did this on that collage, and that's fine, that's up there, I like that, and these blessings that's caused us to be prosperous because of you are your living epistles. And you need to know that. You're living epistles. And that's very biblical. When you bought me that car, you were a living epistle. When you brought that gun to me, you was a living epistle. All you that's contributed to the treasury of this place are living epistles. And when we put God first, God's house, then it ends up blessing many and you get blessed. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I've always struggled with that. Not that I'm worried about it, but it's just kind of interesting. But I'll be the receiver. You darn right. I'll yuck it up yet to come. I don't know what's going to happen in our finances. I don't know what's going to happen in our marriage. I don't know what's going to happen in our ministry. But you know I want to live to be 100. I've got 4 grandkids and more to come. And I think Christianity is a blast. I think God wants to prosper us. And He has. And He will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've said that before. And but put God first. And when we put God first, it's like the word grace and the will of God, I should say. It's a lot harder to get out of the will of God. There's a lot of us who have, especially in your early years, you're saying, oh, I wonder if it's the will of God. I wonder if it's the will of God. I wonder if it's the will of God. And I get that because I've been there and done that too. But I've learned through principles taught to me and experience that it's truly harder to get out of the will of God than it is to stay in it. If we just have a desire towards Christ, towards His church, we are doing the will of God, and we are walking in that will, and I'm telling you, there's no telling where you're going to be. I know there's a lot of young folks here, and I think that God is wanting to take you further than He's taken Patty and I. You can pass us up. Hallelujah. Go for it. Pass us up in a lot of different areas. And I'm going to say something else I hadn't planned on, then I'm going to give it to you, Pastor Case. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. First thing, it's kind of a two-part. First thing, and I didn't think Pastor was going to get to be here today, but I'm telling you, the office of that ministry over us, and I got to try to keep it together here, is so important. We don't even realize. This church had a change at one point between Hyatt and Case. That's what I've experienced. And there's a couple in here that experience, I think Lana and Joel and maybe a couple others, Steve probably, that even had a changeover when Hyatt came into this place. But the pastorate in our life is a ministry over us that is so vital to our prosperity, to our well-being. It really is. And I don't think people get that. I don't think they get the power. And it's like it's an unseen thing. When you have a pastor, God has ordained it to be so that He calls us out of darkness, He baptizes us into the church, and then He puts a pastor over us. It is what it is. And I know many of you, and I know this sounds like I'm just boasting in Pastor Case, and yet I am, because we should boast in Him. We should boast in the Lord about our prosperity, about whatever's happened to us in our lives, the blessings. We forget sometimes. We pray desperately. But Hyatt said, back long ago, before Case even showed up on the scene, I don't know how long, I was around Hyatt for 10 plus years. Awesome man of God, awesome pastor. And he said, and this, I don't know how this is going to sound, but he said that God was preparing people, and this is in conjunction with what I just said about you younger folks passing Patty and I up. That's fine. Go for it. But Hyatt said that God, and some of you will remember this statement that he made. He said that that God was preparing men to pastor that it would have a lot more knowledge and a better, clear understanding about the things that are tucked away in the covers of that book. And I know that you that know your word know that he has brought forward things that have been pretty doggone outrageous. Hyatt was a good pastor. I didn't say he was a bad pastor, but he actually almost like prophesied that God was preparing people. And of course, Case came to us 16 or 17 years ago through Kunzer and the elders that were seeking a new pastor to replace. It's like the proverb, a man who has a wife has a good thing. Is that how that goes? A man, a child of God that has a pastor has a good thing. And we need him. We need one another, as Patty and I have needed all of you all to help bless us. And that is the end. Thank you very much.
That's fabulous. Isn't it great to receive a message like that from someone you know is not a charlatan? I mean, probably 80% of us, we know Jeff. And so that's the heart of God, and it's not about him and Patty per se, their means to an end, and that is glorifying God and leaving an example so that we can all be in that godly prosperity. Why don't we stand together? I'm going to pray. If you close your eyes first, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, no matter how prosperous you think you are very poor. You're missing the point of life. The reason you and I exist is to have a relationship with our Creator. The only way to have that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and lived perfectly, and he paid the price for our imperfection. If you'd like me to pray for you today, just between you and I, just raise your hand. You want to make a new start. Jesus is near. He's not far off. There's nothing you've done or nothing that you are that keeps you from Christ. If you believe in him, he will embrace you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish from everlasting life. Yes, I see your hand. I will pray for you. Anybody else today? Would you like me to pray for you today? Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna, you want to prosper. You want to experience godly prosperity. It's not like you haven't. If you want to join us in prayer to continue and to increase.